Judith, you want to turn off the recording at this point, please? Who will speak for on the topic of We Came to Believe, pages 45, 47, and back to 28 for 20 minutes. Lonnie, please unmute yourself. Lonnie, press star 6. Judith, I'm wondering if you muted the whole line, that they can't unmute themselves?
No, only individually. What is the last four digits of Lonnie's number? We know? Hold on, I'm going to
give me a minute.
You are on the phone.
8040.
Okay, here it is. 8040. Oh, here we go. Let's unmute.
Thank you. I couldn't unmute myself. So, hi, I'm Lonnie.
Lonnie, would you like a 5-minute warning with your 20 minutes?
No, I'm okay. I'm okay.
Okay, go for it.
All right. Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Lonnie. I am a recovered compulsive eater, drug addict, alcoholic, and I am an emotional sobriety seeker. So I just want to thank you all for allowing me to speak on this call. And if there was ever any doubt that I've had a psychic change as a result of working these steps, it's the fact that I'm willing to do this. And I am going to start with a prayer. God, please enable me to set aside my anxiety about what I think I need to say and portray so that your spirit can come through me and touch the spirits of the people on this call. So for me, I definitely, when I look back, I can see that I had a spiritual malady from the get-go. As a little child, I was afraid all the time, and I very quickly figured out ways to try and get rid of that, be it trying to please people, and I remember finding sugar at the age of 5. And also, I loved cough syrup, so I guess I found alcohol in some respect then. So I went through my life, and I would say from the beginning, I lived life as if I could fix it on the outside, I thought that I could be okay on the inside. And I think that worked for a while. And I found drugs and alcohol when I was a teenager and definitely gave me a sense of ease and comfort. And I at the same time also found food and I don't know about ease and comfort, sugar, I guess for a short while. So I went along my way, and when I was in 1984, I was confronted at my work because I was using drugs. I am a nurse, and I was using drugs and stealing them through work, and I was confronted and told that either I went to treatment or I would be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And that started my recovery. I came into recovery, and my story is that I stayed clean and sober for 21 years and then ended up picking up. And I say clean and sober, but I was, at the beginning, my recovery was meetings, fellowship, a lot of therapy, finding my inner child, trying to figure out basically the root of my problem, thinking that if I found the root of my problem that I could fix it and I would be okay. And so that lasted for a while, and then it just kept getting worse and worse. And the anxiety got so bad that picking up was a step up from where I was at. And it started slipping and sliding with the food, and I got into competitive bodybuilding. And for me, that was just a big part of my disease. And so I was obsessed with my body. I was obsessed with the food. And I became more and more restless, irritable, and discontent. And And I heard somebody say I was a shiny car with no engine. And basically that's who I was, and it did not make me feel any better. And so I picked up opiates, and I picked them up and put them down for about 4 years, and then somehow God got me back into program. And I came in sort of the back door. I went into Al-Anon, and I knew that the person that I had been my whole life, who basically was living life as if it was a combat zone. I grew up in a family where I had a mentally ill mother and an alcoholic father. So, you know, it was as if I was still in that combat zone. And so I worked the steps in Al-Anon, and I did not change my sobriety date. And I became more and more anxious. And I had some women in Al-Anon who helped me to get honest. And so it took another 3 years for me to get to BBA. And in the meantime, I just, the promises of the program weren't there. And in working the steps in Al-Anon, I got to step three, and it was like, I thought I needed to figure God out, and I couldn't move on in the steps until I had a concrete definition of God. And so God, one day I was in a meeting, I saw a woman there. Around that time, I had thought, maybe I need to read We Agnostics. And I don't know why. I mean, that was God for sure, because I didn't think I was agnostic. I believed in God. Because I was introduced to God as a young child. But I had that, and at the same time, this woman appeared. And I asked her to sponsor me, and she took me through Big Book Awakening. And, the amazing thing in step one was that, I found out about my physical allergy, that when I pick up my drugs, alcohol, my alcoholic foods, that all bets are off. And I have that craving. I want more. I want to stay ahead of the game. And so, I don't have any control at that point. And so then also I have that mental obsession that when I put it down, I can't help but pick back up again because I don't have another solution. And so, and then the third part, which is really the kicker, and that is that I have that spiritual malady. And the spiritual malady, to me, that is my disease. I do agree that there's something different about my brain than people who are non-alcoholic, but that spiritual malady is so deep in me that if I don't find a way to connect to a power greater than myself, that I will continue to seek the ease and comfort of what has been what I've gone to my whole life. And so I come into step two, and at that point, it says on page 45, lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves. And obviously, but where and how are we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. And so my unmanageability prevents me from finding this power on my own. And thank God that we have this 12-step program, and I am just so grateful to Big Book Awakening, because I didn't find the solution anywhere else. And I think that I'm also grateful that it gave me something that I can use to take other people through this process, because I know that I can't, that's part of my recovery, is continuing to carry the message that God brought me to program brought me to God, and I go back to program to bring God to the back to the program, bring it to other people. So I'm going to go on to, write in our books in Big Book Awakening is that lack of power is only a problem when I want to do something. Lack of power was not a problem when I accepted being powerless, but the day came when lack of power was no longer acceptable, then it was a dilemma. And I was thinking today, and I was thinking about being in program and what I did in program to try and to stay abstinent, clean and sober, and particularly the abstinence part of it, the food part of it, was that the meetings that I went to, they talked about the tools of the program. And, you know, okay, so if you have a food plan and you have these other tools and you follow, you know, do all of this, then you're going to stay abstinent. And I was thinking about that today as I was walking, and it was like, well, you know, those tools aren't any good unless I have power, you know. So I like the visual of them being power tools. And that I need a power greater than myself who will, you know, who will give me the ability to do all of these things. So in We Agnostics, the exercise that I was led through, which is taking a look at the bedevilments and looking at my life as if, first of all, from the standpoint of what does my life look like if God is nothing, and what does my life look like if God is everything? And so going back through, I know that I had said 45 and 47, but I can't help but thinking about the bedevilments, which are on page 52, and looking at that, which is basically looking at where my life had come to, and all the time, especially during those 25 years or so where I was living in the bedevilments. And so for me to look at what my life looks like when I am living in them and I don't have a power greater than myself, that was just like it was just an amazing experience. And it brought me to tears, and it still brings me to tears when I go back and I read through what does my life look like if God is nothing, and what does my life look like if God is everything. On page 47, the first part of step 2, which says, do I believe, or am I now, or am I even willing to believe that there is a power greater than myself? And I look at that as that can bring me beyond where I'm at with where at whatever unmanageability is going on in my life today. And, you know, I said I'm an emotional sobriety seeker, and that definitely is where my unmanageability shows up in my life. And my go-to is, oh, well, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to read my big book more, I need to pray more, I need to do this, I need to do that. And that is just part of my disease. So, you know, it goes back to, you know, that I take it to God. And so the other part of We Agnostics is the willingness for me to, and I was just saying that about if God is nothing, if God is everything, am I willing to, as I go into these steps, because here I am at step 2, and I need to be willing to believe that there is a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. And that willingness is there so that I have the willingness to go through the rest of the steps, because that's where the power comes from. So I had said that back on page 28. And I love how in a couple different areas in this book, it talks about things being a dilemma. But on page 28, we come to that place where we're looking at our disease and we're looking at having lost power, choice, and control, and that we sought the same escape with all the desperation of drowning men. What seemed at first a flimsy reed has proved to be the loving and powerful hand of God. A new life has been given us, or if you prefer, a design for living that really works. And as you go down the page, it talks about that we have a creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. And I needed to come into this step with that because I did grow up in a religion that was given to me, and it was, you believe this or something really horrible is going to happen. So I don't even know that if I chose to have a relationship with God. It was a scare tactic. And so I came into this step with a lot of prejudice and preconceived notions. And I'm so grateful for the set-aside prayer, which reminds me that I need to be willing to set aside what I think I know, which the longer I'm in program, the more I realize that I don't really know very much. And it's my fear that is keeping me thinking that I know what I don't know. And so to be able to set aside that prejudice, in several places in the book, it talks about, to look at people who have so-called, quote-unquote religion, and to look at them and say, there's an awful lot of those people. Could they all be wrong? And then in the later on in the book where it says be quick to see where religious people may be right. And so that definitely going through the four step, I could on a further level put aside my prejudice, but going through We Agnostics and looking at my prejudice and how it was getting in the way, and knowing in the heart of me, after going through step one, that my way did not work. And I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and then I beat it again, and I tried, and so my self-reliance did not work. So it's like, what other choice do I have right now? Because I knew that I could not live life without a substance and without a power greater than myself. And I have been so blessed in my journey through Big Book Awakening that I was introduced to it. My sponsor who introduced me to it ended up leaving program last fall. And then I met my sponsor I have now, and who led me to a whole network of Big Book Awakening people, Terry being one of them, Suzanne being another one of them, and who have led me to this. And so God's hands are all over it, and it comes back to that, just that willingness to believe and to be open-minded and to come to God on a daily basis, to ask my God to show me who he would have me be today and what I need to do today. And to have that solace, to know that there is a power much greater than me that has me in his ever-loving arms. And the last thing I'll say is back to when I talked about needing to figure God out before I could move on with the steps. Somebody had said to me, and I think of this all the time, and that was, you know, how with my finite mind can I define an infinite being? And also that if my God is, if I can describe my God and put him in a box, he is not big enough. And so that, with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Lonnie, for speaking for us today. And as a reminder, we only record our speakers and not the share. So I'm going to ask at this time that the recording be stopped.